Is it okay if I preach God's word this morning? Today is Mission Sunday, and so want to talk about that a little bit. And occasionally we'll read a portion of scripture that sort of messes with you a little bit. And a lot of times when I'm reading scripture, God will do this to me. I always hear this voice in the back of my mind. I'll read something and it'll go, bam, what you going to do about that? It's like, oh man, I don't know, Lord. And this is one of those scriptures where I'm reading and I hear this voice in the back of my mind. Bam! What are you going to do about that? And so I'm going to confront you this morning. I'm going to throw something out there, and then bam! What are you going to do? I don't know if you see that show Cops in the States. It's bad boys, what you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you, bad boys? Anyways, don't get me singing. Anyways, let's turn to Matthew chapter 28, a verse that we know very well, that we've probably memorized many times. If we were to take bets on what passage we'd go over today for Mission Sunday, Matthew 28 and just two verses 19 and 20. If you know the Bible, thank you for our ushers, for they will get you a Bible. If not, that's okay. Most of us have it memorized, I think. I'm going to go ahead. It says go. Somebody say go. It says go. Somebody says go. Tell somebody next to you, go. We're going to stay on that word go a little bit. Can you say it one more time? Go. I want you to get it in your spirit that the Bible says go. Say go. It doesn't say stop, it doesn't say wait, it doesn't say hold up, it doesn't say hold on. It says go, somebody say go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Bam, what you going to do about that? See, there's something about this passage that I just can't escape. I just can't get around. I can't theologically dig myself out of this whole... we have this mission statement that's written across the front of this podium, to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. Okay, so you come to church and you want to know him. Well, let me tell you something. You want to know him. You've got to know that God is a missional God. That God is a God who moves to proclaim his name. Isaiah 26:8 talks about that my heart's desire is about your name and its renown. In other words, to make the name of Jesus famous. I'm so glad that Monica introduced that song about carrying your name. And as we're seeing, carrying your name, the image in my mind of carrying the name of Jesus wherever we go, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of the writer. That's the heart of Isaiah. That all I care about, my heart's desire is to carry that name. It's about your name and your renown, to make your name famous. So you want to know him. Many of us, when we get deeper, we come to church. It's like, yeah, I want to know a little bit about God. And maybe you've been in church a while and you're a Christian. And so now the next step is, all right, I want to be like him. I want to be like Jesus. I want to wear that bracelet around my wrist. What would Jesus do? Because I want to be like him. But there's a third part to the mission of SP, is to make him known. Is to make him known. How y'all doing on that? How would you grade yourself? Not that God is giving grades. I'm just giving you a grade. God wouldn't do that. But for most of us, we're really good at wanting to know God. I want to know him. Philippians talks about, I want to know God and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. And then we move, and most of us, I want to be like Jesus. And when we sin and we mess up, I messed up. Why? Because I want to be like him. But when it comes to making him known, never even thought about that. Don't really care about that. Never even considered that. But if you look at Jesus, you look at God, God came on a mission from heaven to earth. He actually came, crossed the cosmos from heaven to earth to proclaim about himself. Jesus, his mission was to come and seek and save the lost. He came to this earth to go and seek and save the lost. His heart was to get the gospel of himself out to the lost. The Apostle Paul, he spent his entire life, who wrote most of the books of the New Testament, going from places to places, journeys and journeys and journeys, saying that I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of salvation to anyone who believes. If you want to know God, you got to know he's a missional God. He's a God of missions. He's a God who needs to get that name out. Now, when we talk about missions, we generally have this image in our mind of a small missionary going to some foreign place in Africa, living in some tiki hut, you know, in some primitive dwelling where, you know, sometimes he's eating bugs and things like that, you know. But the Bible doesn't support this view of missions being about being in some dirty little place, hidden. Missions, it talks about a broad perspective, a broad spectrum of evangelistic work. Basically, missions is to proclaim the good news, the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter if you're in Denmark or if you're in Dallas. It doesn't matter if you're in Cambodia or if you're in Canada. It doesn't matter if you're in Thailand or Hong Kong. The heart of God is for his name to be known throughout the world. And so missions is getting the gospel from here to there. Missions is about getting the gospel from here to there. From here to there. From here to there, whether it's in Cambodia, Hong Kong, Canada, the U.S., Australia, that's what missions is about. And then Acts 1:8 talks about, but stay here and you're going to receive power to be my witnesses through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, God's heart is to get his name, to get himself to the ends of the earth, to get it out. To know him, to be like him, and to make him known. To make him known. To make him known. So now he says, go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Unfortunately, I wish I could just get around that and just kind of skip that and omit that, you know. All nations. Really, really, God? I mean, because, you know, there's so many people in my community, in my neighborhood, in my area, you know, in my workplace, you know, even, you know, at church and central. You know, there's so many people in my proximity that needs the gospel. But really, all nations? Like, do we really have to go to all nations? Nations in the Greek being ethnos, meaning people group. And believe me, I looked at the Greek. It's panta ethne, all people groups, that word all. I wish I could omit that and say maybe some, but it doesn't say some. It doesn't say few. It says all. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations. What are you going to do about that? Bam! Many of us know that this passage is called the Great Commission, right? The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. I think it was Pastor James Ryle that talked about that this is the great co-mission. Come on, somebody. It's a co-mission. Co-mission meaning you got to do it like a co-pilot, like a co-leader. This is a co-mission. Come on, somebody. This isn't just for missionaries to do by themselves. This is the great co-mission. You do it together. You do it. You do it. The co-mission. What is the mission? You do it co. In order to follow and obey the Great Commission, you've got to be under submission. You have to be under submission. Sub, being under the mission. Oh, shoot, this is getting crazy right now. Submission, thank you. Submission. In order to obey the great co-mission, you're going to need to have submission. In other words, you're going to have to come under the mission. See, because many people are trying to come up with new missions for their churches and new missions for their business plans. But you know what? Jesus had a mission that has lasted 2,000 years and hasn't changed, y'all. It is a great commission, and in order to obey it, we're going to have to learn some submission. In other words, to come sub under the mission of Jesus Christ, which is what? Go and make disciples. Go and seek and save the lost. And unfortunately, the great commission has become the great omission. This is something that we disregard, something that we forget about, something we don't even consider. Make him known. Yeah, whatever. Because as I read this passage, it doesn't tell me that Jesus' command was for the whole world to go to church. Jesus' command is for the church to go into the world. Come on, somebody. I think we've got it wrong. I look at God and Jesus, and what he did was he was incarnational, meaning he left heaven and came down to the people. He came down to the people. But our attitude is, you know, we think that the Great Commission means, oh, everybody come to church, come to church, come to church. Yeah, that's great. And you will hear the Word of God preached and lives are changed, and that is great. But this is one of those verses where I read and I'm like, oh, bam, what are you going to do about it? Go, okay, I don't know about that. Make disciples, doing not a great job of that. Into all nations, not really. Baptizing them hasn't been happening. What are you going to do about this? The command is not for the whole world to go to church. It's for the church to go into all the world. Can somebody give me an amen? I was thinking about, there are all these videos that go viral. You know that term going viral, meaning it's like everywhere, you know, 11 million hits and things like that. And I was thinking, how does that happen, man? I have a few, let me just be frank, you know, this stays here, you know. I have some videos of my son, you know, very proud of my son, like any parent, right? And, you know, just, you know, and let's be honest, why do you post anything on Facebook? It's because you want people to see it, right? Right? There's no excuse. I mean, you want people to see it. And so I confess, yeah, I want people to see it. And so, you know, in the beginning, you know, I was like, oh man, you know, this could be, you know, this could have lots of hits, you know, people are going to view this, you know. And so every so often I'd go on the page and see how many people viewed it, you know. And it's like, wow, you know, 34 views, you know, 52 views, you know, maybe the most craziest one has like 120 views, you know, whatever, right? And, you know, I'll be honest, it's like, dang, man, you know, what it would be like, what would the feeling be like to have 1 million people view your video? And then you've got videos that have like 11 million hits and 11 million views and 43 million views. And I'm like, are you serious? And so I was thinking to myself, how does this happen? How does a video go viral? And it's quite simple. The word has to get out. The word gets out. The word gets out, whether through word of mouth, through Facebook, through people passing it on, through people talking about it. In fact, you get enough people talking about it, you're going to get a video that goes viral where everybody talks about it. And I wonder if we have something worthy of going viral. If we have a message that is worthy of going viral. Yet we have no desire. I shouldn't say that because some of you are going to be offended. For many of us, we have very little desire to take the message of Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross to save us from eternal damnation in hell, separation from God forever. We have very little desire to let that message go viral. It's easy to determine when something is aflame. In other words, when there's a fire, it's easy to determine when that fire is going to be a flame. You know why? Because that fire ignites other materials around it. And if that fire does not spread, listen to what I'm saying, if that fire does not spread, you know what's going to happen to the fire? The fire will burn out. It will go out. Unless this fire, for the heart of God goes out to the nations, goes out to people, that fire is going to die. And if I were to look at our hearts, where's that fire for missions? Where's that fire for evangelism? Where is that fire? Well, I'm telling you, unless it catches on to someone else, unless it catches fire to someone else around you, that fire will die. And I wonder, is your flame for evangelism and missions, is it out? Or is there still a glimmer of hope? A church without evangelism and missions is a contradiction in terms, just as a fire that does not burn is a contradiction. When you look at salespeople, the best salesperson is one who truly believes in their product. Right? You can tell some salespeople who are not enthusiastic about their jobs because they really don't care about their product. You know, the last thing they want to sell is mops. You know, and they really, you know, they have their own, you know, they have the mop at home and it doesn't really work. And then, you know, it's part of their job and they're just trying to sell you a mop. You know, they're using all sorts of gimmicks and things like that. But in the end, you can tell, you know what, this guy doesn't really care about selling mops. It's just his job. But you know, the best salespeople are the ones who truly believe in their product, whether it be a car. Right, if you take a car salesperson, maybe for BMW or something, they really believe that every person should drive a BMW. They drive a BMW. They can list everything that they think a BMW is life changing, and they want people to drive their car, their product, and things like that. And so they believe in it, and they want to sell it, and they are the best salespeople. And I wonder if we, as people, are supposed to be like salespeople. No, not the immoral, not the dirty salesperson, not the bait and switch kind of guy, not that kind of salesperson, but someone who believes in a product and wants people to have it. Well, you know, Pastor Gene, I'm not really a good salesperson. You know, I'm not really extroverted. I'm not really shy. And, you know, I just don't have the skills. I couldn't sell. You know, I tried sales, you know, and I actually, you know, had negative sales and things like that. You know, I just don't have the personality or the skills. Can I tell you something? It really isn't about your sales skills. It's really about whether you believe in the product or not. You know, because if you believe in it, somehow people are going to know, wow, maybe there's something to this product that I need to look into or have. See, that's what missions is in evangelism. It's not about your ability to sell. It's not your ability to evangelize. It's not your ability to know the four spiritual laws. It's not your ability to defend the faith. It's not your ability at all. It's about your belief in what Jesus has done for you. It's your belief that he has the power to save, that his arm is not too short, but it is mighty to save. It is your belief in that. Coca-Cola had a mission statement a while ago that they wanted a Coca-Cola in the hand of everyone in the world. And surveys showed that 97% of the world has heard of Coca-Cola. 72% of the world has seen a can of Coca-Cola, and 51% of the world has tasted a can of Coca-Cola. You know, I don't know how accurate those statistics, and Catherine could probably correct me later, but not that she cares about that anymore, praise God. But listen, 97% of the world has heard about this sugar water concoction. 97% of the world has heard about it. Yet there's 1.7 billion people in the world that have no access to the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is estimated that 17 million people die every year without having heard the name of Jesus Christ. And for us Christians, we have a product. We have a message. We have something that the world needs to hear. If you're hearing what I'm saying, somebody say amen, please. I have a horrible confession to make. Why? It must be confession day today. I have a horrible confession to make. I have converted more people from Windows to Macintosh than I have converted people to Jesus Christ. Even in my short time in Hong Kong, I've converted 50% of our office from Windows to Mac. You know, there are some, you know, people in the light and are already Mac users, you know, but there are some in darkness that were still in Windows. And so I started to evangelize to them. And Pastor Sophia is one of my converts. Monica, one of my converts, you know. That's 50% of our staff, you know. And basically, you know, as I was using my Mac, we still have to get on PSAM and Nate. But in any case, but, you know, it's funny because I was just using my Mac, and Pastor Sophia would look over and say, oh, what is that? And maybe she saw the joy in my heart as I was using my Mac Mini in the office, and she's like, you know, I want to consider, and so I went through all the benefits and how it's changed my life and all these things, and so, bam, now we just got to work on P-Nate, and P-Sam, it's weird, because he has an iMac at home, he has an iMac in the office, but he's still not fully committed, you know, what is that? I mean, I think that's like a lot of people in church, you know, they look like a Mac user, but in their heart, they want Windows, or they want Android. And in fact, you know, they look like a Mac user, but they criticize other Mac users. You know, it's kind of like people in the church, you know. They look like a Christian, but then they begin to criticize other Christians. You know, it's kind of like that. So PSAM is kind of weird. You know, I got to pray over that. That's okay. He's not here, so we can, you know. But 2 Timothy 4:5 says, do the work of an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, do the work of an evangelist. And you might say, well, but, you know, evangelism is not my spiritual gift, you know. Criticism is my spiritual gift. And, you know, but, you know, evangelism is not my spiritual gift. So what you're saying is, you know, I'm not really good at it, and I'm really scared about it. And so, you know, but it doesn't mean that you don't disobey the word of God. You still have to do the work of the evangelist. We have so many excuses. We have insecurities. I understand that. I would say for me, evangelism is not my strongest gift, but I know that I still have got to do the work of an evangelist because that's what God calls me to. It's kind of like seeing a kid beaten up and bullied at school and waiting at the taxi, and you're seeing, you know, black eyes and stuff like that, and you walk by and say, you know what, I don't have the gift of help, so I, you know, see it, so long, take care, God bless you. Or I don't have the gift of prayer, so you know what, I'm sorry, I can't pray for you. That's ridiculous. But we do that with evangelism. I don't have the gift of evangelism. Sorry, man, I can't go on local outreach. Sorry, man. I was in Singapore a couple weeks ago at a conference, and just hearing the testimonies of the staff there and how they came to Christ. And here I was sitting in my chair in the back row, very, 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 very back row, crying my eyes out. You know, these people have been Christians, you know, for 20, 30 years, telling their story like it was the first time. And here I am sitting in the back row, crying my eyes out, because what still moves my heart is people far from God finding Jesus and having their lives transformed. Whenever I see a baptism or videos on baptisms or I talk about baptisms, or even when we're in GIC talking about how people came to know Jesus, man, there's nothing that stirs me up. There's nothing that fires me up more than someone hearing the gospel, someone hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, someone hearing that there is hope in their lives, someone hearing that someone who was unloved can be loved, someone who was in darkness has seen the light, someone who was almost in death but now has new life. There's nothing that fires me up more than seeing a life change because someone told them the gospel. Someone told them about Jesus. But I examine my own heart and realize that making him known is not really a priority in my life. And I'm talking to you as a follower of Jesus Christ, or so I think. Bill Hybels, a pastor at Willow Creek, talks about this story of how he would go out to his driveway and he would collect his mail from the mailbox, and you know, you always get some junk mail, and you always get, you know, flyers for dry cleaning, flyers for, you know, auto body shops, flyers for mechanics, flyers for sales going on at the shopping malls, and every so often, I don't know about where you lived or where you grew up, But in America, you get these flyers, and on the back of the flyer, there's pictures of these two kids, you know, and the title is, "Have you seen this child? Have you seen missing kids? Have you seen this child?" And he was talking about how you get these, and he would just chuck them into the garbage and just flip in the garbage, you know, read it, junk mail. But one day, as he was getting the mail, he was taking a look at this flyer, and it said, "Missing kids, have you seen him? Please call this phone number." And he just stopped in his tracks. And for some reason, it was like that child calling out to him. And he began to wonder, why is this child staring me in the face? Why is this engaging my heart? And why do I just throw it away like it doesn't really matter? Which I confess I've done also. And he felt like the Spirit of God speak to him and saying that this is my children. And he examined his own heart, and he says he just chucks them in the garbage because, quite simply, these are not my kids. I throw them in the garbage. I chuck these flyers because they don't pertain to me. They're not my child. They're not my kids. They're not my children. Many of us remember September 11th, 2001 in New York, and how many people died and were lost, and there's in the States there's footage 24 hours a day for weeks. And what you saw were parents, people frantically trying to find their loved ones who were, you know, either in the Twin Towers or whether they're frantically trying every single day. They would go out, search Ground Zero to see if maybe their loved ones, their spouses, their children were alive. And they would go out day after day after day after day. And as you're watching this on TV, I mean, most of us, you know, I was in California, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm sorry to let you know, but your wife is probably gone. I mean, actually, I'm pretty sure your wife is dead. I'm pretty sure your children are dead. I mean, this is like day 20, day 30. You know, physiologically, you know, you can only survive so long without water and food, you know, whatever the numbers are. This is day 45. People are still looking at Ground Zero. And it's like you want to go and yell at the TV screen, like, wake up, accept the fact that your loved one is gone. But then you have to ask yourself, why? After 45 days, why after 60 days, why after 100 days, they still go back and try to look for their loved ones. It's because they are their loved ones. It's because they are personal to them. And they constantly go back. There is an endless pursuit for the one you love, for the ones you love, to go find them in hopes. You know the odds are against you. You know that it's a very little chance of survival. You know that, but because of your great love for your loved ones, there is a relentless search to find them. And that's when God began to speak. The Bible says that he doesn't want any to perish, that none would perish. And every single person on that flyer, that missing kid, or on a milk carton, or in Ground Zero is God's loved ones. They're God's children. And so he will not give up. He will not relent. He will keep going, so that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If that was your child, you would not give up. You hear about a lot of drownings in rivers. And you know, death is quick if you're drowning in a river. Reported missing people. And they're out there days and weeks and months. And even the Holloway case in Aruba, man, almost years, still trying to find their daughter. It's like, come on, you guys, she's dead. No, but for the parent, for the loved one, it's, I'm going to continue to search and go and go and go and go and go. And so what we have to understand and realize is the person next to you is one of God's loved ones. The person in Cambodia is God loved ones. The drunkard in Sri Lanka on the streets is God's loved one. See, because if your love is deep enough for somebody, you're never going to give up. Never, no, never, no, never. He cannot give up. You know a gauge to tell if you're growing closer to God or not? Do you know what a gauge is? A good gauge to know if you're getting closer to God or not is when you love what he loves and when you hate what he hates. When my wife and I were dating, before we were dating, I had all of these, I had a checklist, okay, of just what my wife needed to be. She needed to be someone who loved sports. She needed to be someone who loved going to concerts. She needed someone who loved hiking and climbing. And so I had this huge list of things, you know, and so while we're dating, I found out that she liked like zero on my list. She didn't match anything on my list. And she brought up a very good point as she was reading my list. She's like, you know what? I'm reading this list, and you just want a female version of you. I was like, oh. So are you any of those things? She's like, no. But as we got closer and as we're dating, you know, she began to attend some concerts, even though she hated it. She began to attend and watch, you know, some football games with me. I'm just so thankful that she knows who the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers is. That's actually all I need. That's all I care. You know, none of you, you know, most of you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's okay. That's my love language. You know, we talk football to one another. But what you'll find out is that when you're dating someone you love or when you're with someone you love, that you will begin to love what they love. That you'll begin to love what they love. Any married people, can I get an amen? Okay, reluctantly, maybe you'll love what they love, but, you know, reluctantly, but you still go along with it, or you try. If you're a good spouse, you'll try. Come on, somebody, you know. But you want to know if you're getting closer to God, you'll begin to love what they love, and you'll begin to hate what they hate. And can I tell you something about God? There's one thing that I know that God loves, is he loves lost people. He loves people who are far from him. He loves them. And so the question is, do you love lost people? Or does something in your heart need to change? Do you have a burden on the top of your heart for lost people? God has called us to go and make disciples of all nations. Nelson Mandela, and I'm coming to a close, when he was on trial, he knew that regardless of what he said or answered, that he was on the hinge of changing a nation. And he said this quote, "Ending apartheid is a cause for which I will gladly give every day for the rest of my life to a purpose for which I am thoroughly prepared to die. Ending apartheid is a cause for which I will gladly give every single day for the rest of my life in a purpose for which I am thoroughly ready to die." No wonder God used that man. No wonder God used that man. He was single-minded. He was clear in his mission, and he had amazing courage. And that could have been the same for Martin Luther King Jr. with the civil rights movement in the United States. And I wonder if we can be able to say, Jesus Christ is a cause for which I would gladly give every single day for the rest of my life for the purposes in which I am thoroughly prepared to die. I wonder if God can use someone like that. God has called us to go and make disciples of all nations. He's caused us to go. A one-legged school teacher from Scotland named George Scott came to Hudson Taylor to apply as a missionary for services in China. A one-legged school teacher named George Scott. And so as part of the interview process, Hudson Taylor asked him, with only one leg, why do you want to go as a missionary? With only one leg, why do you want to go? And his response, Because I don't see those with two legs going. So he was accepted. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. To ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Therefore, ask the Lord. There's my prayer thing. I think I filled the prayer quota for today. I tied it in somehow. Brilliant. And I was like, hey, you know, how come we talk about missions? Aren't we supposed to? There it is, prayer. There, I got it. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into this harvest field. In other words, if you're not going, you're sending. If you're not going, you're giving. If you're not going, you're sending. That if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a role in missions. Either you're going to go or you're going to send, but you have no choice. You've got to participate. That is the mandate. And it's because of what God has done for us on the cross as we're coming up to Easter and Good Friday. Then in about 5-6 days that Jesus is going to die for your sins, that we, because of our sinfulness, have to pay a penalty. But Jesus said, no, you don't have to pay it. I'm going to pay it for you. I'm going to die for your sins and pay the penalty so that you could have eternity in heaven. And because of that great love, and because I believe in the freedom that God gives, I believe in the hope that God gives, because I believe in the victory that God gives, because I believe in the love that God gives, because of that, I've got to tell the world. I've got to tell somebody. I just can't contain it. I can't keep it in. I got to go and tell somebody about it. Can you imagine if you are in the lab and you're in the medical field and you're doing research and you've got millions of dollars going into cancer research? Many of us every morning are praying for those with cancer. We have loved ones who are almost at the end of their rope, and we're praying for healing. Can you imagine all of this money given to cancer research? And someone is in their lab, and they separate the genes and the DNA, and they find the chromosome, and they find, in other words, they find the cure to cancer. And they didn't tell anybody about it. Here we are, crying out to God, crying out for help, crying out to our doctors, begging people, begging God. And here's somebody in a lab who found the cure, but he's not going to tell anybody about it. How upset would you be? I'd be quite upset. I've had loved ones die of cancer. And you're telling me my parents, my loved ones, my siblings, they could have lived because you had a cancer and you didn't tell me? You didn't say anything? Are you serious? And we have the cure for hopelessness, for depression, for disease, for darkness. And you're not going to tell anybody about it? Because you're scared of rejection? Hey, they're the foolish one, not you. I have the cure for cancer. You don't want it? I can't help you. But I'm offering it to you. I'm offering you living water. I'm offering you new life. I'm offering you a second chance. Go. Make disciples of all nations. Go. I just want to finish with a song. I'm not going to sing it. But Keith Green, if you're born in the 70s or prior, you may actually know who this guy is. Keith Green, in fact, we sang the last song, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful," is written by Keith Green. Keith Green was one crazy Christian. In fact, he was a fool for Christ. And if I'm going to be a fool for anything, I'd rather be a fool for Christ than a fool for this world. Come on, somebody. Because can I tell you, people think you're fools anyway. So, hey, might as well be a fool for Christ. Come on. And he talks in his last recorded message that was ever recorded, is that and I don't do it justice, but he says, you know, we think missions is for the serious Christians, you know, those who are really serious about their faith. We think, you know, missionaries are those who just can't handle society, and they just go off into some tribe in Africa, and so. But if you're going to be a missionary, then dude, you're like a crazy serious something wrong with you person, you know, like you can't handle it in finance, so I'm going to go into the mission field, or you know, I can't handle it, you know, in teaching, so I'm just going to go into the mission field. But he says this generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls. Do you hear what I say? This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls. See, because when we die and when we're in heaven, we're not responsible. But while we're here on this earth, we're responsible. This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls. And I don't want to stand before God in that day on Judgment Day and say, God, I didn't hear you call me to go to the nations. I didn't hear you call. In fact, you don't need to hear a call. You've already been called. It's called the Great Commission. It's called Matthew 28. You've already been called. You don't need to hear a call. In fact, if you're going to stay home from going to all the nations, you better be able to say to God on that day, I know for a fact, God, you called me to stay. See, many of us are waiting for that call to go. Well, let's turn it around and say, you better be sure you're called to stay if you're not going to go to all the nations. See, a lot of us, we look at the Great Commission and we have this attitude of like Jesus ascending into heaven and like, oh, shoot, you know, is there any last minute things? Oh, yeah, by the way, as I'm going away, I'll go and therefore make disciples of all nations and baptize them. Okay, I'll see you later. Take care. And we feel like that's like, oh, just a leftover. That's like, you know, oh, he just tried to get that out on the way to heaven. And it's just like, oh, you know, just in case you can. It's kind of like a parent, you know, trying to leave instructions for a babysitter, you know, and just like, oh, if you can feed him at 4 o'clock, then do it, please. And you know, but if not, it's okay. You know, don't worry about it. You know, he'll. But this is not like that. In fact, if you've been in the military, you know that there's a rule in the armed forces is to always obey the last order you get until you get a new one from command headquarters. And the last command that I see in my Bible is to go. Is to go. There's a lot going on today, and maybe we'll have a response during the communion, but I don't want to just preach. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. And so what we're going to do right now is I'm going to ask part of the missions team, and we're going to present to you on Mission Sunday some opportunities to go. You know, because it would be one thing to say go, and then it's like, but there's no place to go. Go into all the nations, but, you know, I don't know what to do. Now what we're going to do is give you no excuse. Can I have the missions committee come up, and we're going to share very shortly 5 or 6 trips that we have for you. And so we're going to start in chronological order from the dates, and we do have dates. And so we'll start with John Kang. This is our missions committee. If you haven't known, you know, there's a lot of things that SP does in regards to missions and projects and people that we support. And we don't have the time to do all of that one. It'll be like town hall. We'll be here for, you know, hours. But what I do want to get out, and the purpose for today is what I do want to do is to let you know formally what our trips are. These are planned. We're planning on adding some more. The dates, you know, may change a little bit, but probably not too much. And so if John, why don't you come up on the stage here and welcome John Kang.
Okay. Hey, guys. I'm John. So basically I'm going to be talking about Boyolali, which is in Indonesia. So basically, last year was the first time, you know, our church went to Boyolali, and it was actually initiated by Pastor Salamat. And for those of you who don't know, Pastor Salamat is the pastor for the Indonesian ministry called Febe that we partner up with. So basically, Boyolali, it's located in Indonesia, and a few years ago it was devastated by a volcanic eruption that basically destroyed the villages around there. So as you can imagine, you know, there was decimation of homes, you know, livelihood, and there was a local church that was also destroyed as well. So in terms of the things that the team is going to do, among other things, one of the things they're going to be doing is they're going to be visiting local villages around the affected area, and they're going to be going to homes, visiting people, and providing physical and spiritual needs. As you can imagine, you know, there's still a lot of rebuilding that needs to be done. So in terms of like physical labor, I think that's going to be required. And also, you know, because I went to Japan last year and we went to a tsunami-stricken area, and a lot of it is physical, right? But I mean, in terms of spiritual, in terms of emotional, there's going to be a lot of needs as well. So I mean, definitely a lot of opportunities there. Another thing that you guys will be doing will be working with the local church there and their youth ministry. So the background here is most of these people at this church, the parents were formerly Muslim, converted into Christianity, and you'll be dealing with the kids. And as you can imagine, in Indonesia, it's very difficult to be a Christian. So, you know, in terms of encouraging them, you know, praying for them and just spending time with them, I think it'll be a real blessing to the kids. And the third thing you'll be doing is, you know, holding various events like evening revivals and so forth. So, you know, please prayerfully consider this trip. I think, you know, one of the things that's really interesting about Indonesia, it's really fascinating country. I mean, you're talking about the fourth largest country in the world by population after China, India, the U.S. I mean, it's over 200 million people. But on top of that, you know, you're talking about the largest Muslim country in the world. So even though here in Hong Kong we're so close, I mean, a lot of times it just falls off the radar screen because we're so focused on China. But in terms of opportunities for ministry, I think Indonesia is huge. And if you have a heart for Indonesia, I think this is very likely the trip for you. Another thing I wanted to talk about was Muslims comprise about 90% of the population. So as you can imagine, there's going to be a lot of religious persecution for Christians. So you have this phenomenon where Muslims that became Christian, because they're ostracized, because the daily life is so difficult, they actually revert back to becoming Muslim just because it's just too difficult to be a Christian. So to go there to encourage the saints in Indonesia, I think would be really valuable. So that's it. So please prayerfully consider this, and thanks.
Hello, I'm Jisan. I'm going to talk about Cambodia mission trip. We can quickly go over the photo PPT first. No PPT. Okay, no PPT today. So basically, we're supporting an SP member, Grace Chung, as an SP missionary. Oh, these are the photos. They were taken in Cambodia last year. Because of the sensitivity, we couldn't really take lots of photos, but just that is Grace. So yeah, SP. As an SP missionary, Grace Chung, she has moved to Cambodia full-time. Now she's the project manager of a greeting card division of a business called Bloom. All the photos were taken in Bloom. Actually, there were a few more. Yeah. So. And the Bloom Training Center assists and empowers women at risk through vocational training and employment. And they work in partnership with aftercare shelters that rescue trafficked women and house survivors of trafficking in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. And they also offer students valuable skills that lead to long-term employment and breaking the cycle of trafficking and restoring dignity and value. And I personally went on this trip last year, and it was really life-transforming experience. So this year, what we are going to do is we're going to have workshops on life skills and business skills, such as customer service, health and nutrition, flower arrangement, time management, and we also have English classes. And we will lead daily devotions, including music and skits. And we also have some activities for kids, and we'll host a party as well. And this year, we are looking to have women's team, so pray about it. And yeah, I really hope that many of you can join us, because, yeah. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jenny. Can you put up the Thailand trip? Last year we organized the first family missions trip from SP, and we had a great time. And we went to North Thailand. Can you put the PowerPoint up? Thanks. We had a great time going to visit an orphanage, daycare center, and sort of hostel place that is run by a guy I've known for about 20 years. And we're going to do the same thing again. We're going to go back to the same place, and this particular trip is designed for families. Singles are welcome to come. We're going to have a few of you come along. That'll be great. But try to make a what we call low-impact missions trip, which means all the people in the baby's room at the back who are listening, you can bring your children. If you get to the next slide, you can see we're going somewhere very, very difficult. I mean, man, it's so tough. It's an eco-friendly hostel, complete with hot coffee and fried rice available at a moment's notice. There's air conditioning and fans. You know, it's very, very tough. The objective, go to the next one. The objective is that we get away from our iPads and iPhones. Some people did. But look, this is designed, this is in the mountains, about 3 or 4 hours away from Chiang Mai. It's a wonderful place. There are about 80 orphans and hostel kids who live here, and then we will travel from there probably this year to what's called the Long Neck Villages. I think you've seen those with all the rings on their necks. Getting there was a great deal of fun last time. This is an almost stop-motion camera of what happened to one of the four-wheel drives. Went kaboom, and we all prayed, dear God, we can't be stuck in the jungle. And that popped a pipe off the water tank, so screwed it on, pulled all our bottled water in, and away we went. So, you know, God answers even the simplest prayers. But that was great fun. Next one. Yeah, we had a great deal of fun working with kids. Mostly they are tribal children. They're not Thai, the Karan, or other tribes. We did some puppet shows. We helped them make puppets. We want to do something similar again. We also built assembled a playground, and that was tremendous fun. Left something behind meaningful for them. If you feel you need to work off some energy, you've been in an office in Hong Kong for too long, time to go there, just dig a bit of ground. I think there's a picture of Sam, Kim, and Micah coming up. You know, we dug some holes and we've put in some concrete and we assembled a playground. And it was tremendous fun. We also worked with kids, sang songs with them, played games, puppet shows, everything. It was tremendously good. I encourage you, if you are a parent, you have a child, you would like them to learn about missions, this is the time to come. If you have relatives, nieces or nephews that you think would be enjoying this, would like a low-impact opportunity to share with other kids about Jesus, this is for you. And if you have never been on a missions trip and you think, I'm not quite ready to go somewhere really difficult, this is also for you. So I encourage you, come to Thailand, have a ball, and share about Jesus with a whole lot of people. Sign up. The dates are the 29th of June till the 3rd of July. That's a public holiday weekend, so you really only need to take one day off work. So please come along.
Thank you.
Yeah, and elephants. Yeah, don't forget the elephants.
Okay. Ohayou gozaimasu. Watashi wa Sophia desu. Hajimimashite doso yoroshiku. Basically, this is the greeting that when we go to Japan and it's first time, it's go in the morning, it's like, good morning. My name is Sophia. This is my first time to meet you. What's the translation? Take care of me, that sort of thing. Yes, Japan, we're planning from August 11 to 20th. John have talked about last year. This last year was the first year we went to Japan. It was really eye-opening for all of us. You all saw the pictures about 311, and we are there to see after 6 months, 4 to 5 months after the disaster. It is really, seeing the scale in person, it is really shocking. And a lot of time when we're there, actually we cannot process what is going on out there. But one thing we know that God is really opening doors. We see people's opening their arms to Christians because a lot of people that go into to help the nation are Christians. And so the attitude has been changed. Some of the facts that you probably heard of is about, you know, there's only 0.02% of Christians that is in Japan. A lot of churches are dying. A lot of them are small churches, old churches. But seeing the window opportunity that happened last year is a disaster, but God bring blessing into it. So this year, we hopefully will try to arrange again to go to an affected area to keep continuing praying for the land and praying for the people, praying for more harvester, more people will go to that land to help and share the gospel. Second part of the, another part that we are planning to arrange is to visit some of these people. I don't know whether you guys heard about them. This syndrome is a social disorder syndrome called hikikomori. Basically, these people are staying in-house without leaving their house can more than up to 10 or 20 years. So basically, they stay indoor, food being provided to them, and they just stay the whole time. It's a social withdrawal syndrome. And so we are hoping that we could visit the center to pray for those people. A lot of them, because of, you know, a lot of social pressure about, you know, high performance and all this, as a result, they just shut themselves in house. And so this is one of the things that we are hoping that we can, we have some connection and we're still working through it. We hope to visit them and pray for these people. And also to see if we can in some way involve in it. And the last part from the 15 to 18, we were going to Kobe, Kobe beef. And yeah, we're going to be a lot of good food too for this trip. We're going to do a summer camp with this church in Kobe, which is any Pastor Sam Kim's wife and his cousin's church in Kobe. And so we're going to have summer camp with them and play with the kids and, you know, to learn more about the church. And so that's about 10 days. So if you have any questions, just email me. And oh, one more thing. Don't, again and again, I emphasize language is never a problem. Last year, we have Haish and Rachel sharing the testimony in Japanese. So we have people, you have English testimony, can translate it for you. We can teach you how to pronounce them, and you can share testimony. And people are touched by testimony. And when I walk into that little church and I see my our people sharing the testimony, and Rachel even cried herself to sharing it, I was so touched that, you know, language is not a barrier. Jesus Christ is the message that everyone can understand.
Okay, so lastly, after we've all heard Pastor Eugene challenge us that we must go on missions, now I would like to attract you to go on missions. Can we put the first slide? So, of course, you've looked at, you know, some of you are not families, maybe you don't think you're called to Japan. We have an alternative plan for you. Next week we'll have a special guest, a young woman who we are now supporting in China. Her name is Edie Clark. She'll share with us next week about this mission. But we are planning to go to China this year to entice you to join missions. Can we find the slide? Yes. All of you... No. Technology is waiting. Yes. You should have been an IP. You shouldn't be XP or whatever. It's a Macintosh. I don't know. So now we have the pizza and chocolate missions trip. All those who would like to go on the pizza and chocolate missions trip, this is the latest thing for SP. So we are having a pizza and chocolate missions trip. We are going to Hunan in central China to do pizza and chocolate. And the reason we're doing that is that in that location we have supported, as SP, we've supported the development of a pizza parlor. And we're going to go and work in the pizza parlor. And the pizza parlor is a recovery station for men who have come out of prison in China and need to learn some skills to integrate back into society. And we're going to work alongside the men in the pizza parlor and serve customers and do some crazy promotional things to attract the public to come. And we're also going to, for the women, going to work in a chocolate factory. And Edie has set up a chocolate factory, which is also a recovery center for women coming out of the sex trade or in difficult situations. And we're going to have the chance to work alongside people who are just getting their lives back together. And at the same time, gee, I don't know if we'll ever get to eat any of the stuff, but I think it might be available. The target for us is to share evangelism. Just by being alongside people, tell them that we know Jesus, that we love them and care for them. And we'll do a little bit of kids outreach. There's an orphan center in a village somewhere nearby. but this will be a high impact, great sort of extrovert type opportunity for us to have a ball, go to China and do something different. If you can flick on a couple of slides. Yeah, Angelo's Pizza Trattoria and the Grace Coffee Shop. There's some crazy things people are doing to promote these businesses in China which support mission activities amongst local people. Yeah, there are a few sort of opportunities to sample the product. Please, if you are a young professional, this is for you. If you speak any Mandarin at all, this would be fantastic. If not, that's okay. A willingness to help people who have hurting lives and want to get their lives back together. So come, those people who want to be a bit crazy, this will be the trip for you. Thank you.
So Jesus says, go to all the nations. Bam, what are you going to do about that? I just want to move into transition. If I could have the ushers come up, but before we respond with the communion, I want you to go ahead and take a look at this video. If the ushers could come up and get ready. These dates will be on the website, so you don't have to worry about remembering them. But I like our response this morning to God's commandment to go and make disciples. I like our response to be the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And as you partake of it today, to remember what he's done and that he so desires for us to go. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The ushers are now going to come, and they're going to distribute the elements. I would ask you to hold both elements, the bread and the wine, and we'll take it together. And so as you're waiting for the elements to be given to you, prayerfully seek the Lord, prayerfully respond to his word, and prayerfully consider God's commandment to go. And you can also worship and sing along as Monica leads us. What we hold in our hands, Is the body of Jesus Christ broken for you? The blood of Jesus poured out for you? Let's take it together. Lord, we remember your sacrifice today. And there's no greater name, no greater message, no greater love, no greater sacrifice. And so, Lord, we honor you. We worship you. God, we thank you for the cross. And remember what you go through, what you've went through on our behalf. And so, Lord, we just lift this time to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I ask you to stand, and I've asked Monica to lead us in the Lord's Prayer song. Pastor Sam is doing a series on the Lord's Prayer, and I'd like us to do it. So we'll close with the Lord's Prayer song and the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with those who will go and make disciples of all nations. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Go say hi to somebody new today and make them welcome as part of SP.